donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Buddy, thank you for tuning in to the Weekly Report. Did Biden steal the election? Move over, Watergate. On or around October 17, 2020, then-senior Biden campaign official Antony Blinken called up former acting CIA director Mike Morrell to ask a favor. He needed high-ranking former U.S. intelligence community officials to lie to the American people to save Biden's lagging campaign from a massive brewing scandal. The problem was that Joe Biden's son, Hunter, had abandoned his laptop at a repair shop, and the explosive contents of the computer were leaking out. The details of the Biden family's apparent corruption and the debauchery of the former vice president's son were being reported by the New York Post. And with the election less than a month away, the Biden campaign needed to kill the story. So, according to newly released transcripts of Morrell's testimony before the House Judiciary Committee, Blinken triggered Morrell to put together a letter for some 50 senior intelligence officials to sign using their high-level government titles to claim that the laptop story had all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. In short, at the Biden's campaign's direction, Morrell launched a covert operation against the American people to undermine the integrity of the 2020 election. A letter signed by dozens of the highest-ranking former CIA, DIA, and NSA officials would surely carry enough weight to bury the Biden laptop story. It worked. Social media outlets prevented any reporting on the laptop from being posted, and the mainstream media could easily ignore the story as it was merely Russian propaganda. Asked recently by Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, why he agreed to draft the false sign-on letter, Morrell testified that he wanted to help Vice President Biden because I wanted him to win the election. Morrell also likely expected to be named by President Biden to head up the CIA when it came time to call in favors. The Democrats and the mainstream media have relentlessly pushed the lie that the ruckus inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, was a move by President Trump to overthrow the election results. Hundreds of trespassers were arrested and held in solitary confinement without trial to bolster the false narrative that a conspiracy to steal the election was taking place. It turns out that there really was a conspiracy to steal the election, but it was opposite of what it was reported. Just as the Steele dossier was a Democratic Party covert action to plant the lie that the Russians were pulling strings for Trump, the Russian disinformation campaign letter was a lie to deflect scrutiny of the Biden family's possible corruption in the final days of the campaign. Did the Biden campaign's disinformation campaign help rig the election in his favor? Polls suggest that Biden would not have been elected had the American electorate been informed about what was on Hunter Biden's laptop. So yes, they cheated in the election. The Democrats and the mainstream media are still at it, however. Now they are trying to kill the story of how they killed the story of the Biden laptop. This is a scandal that would once upon a time have ended in resignation, impeachment, and or plenty of jail time. If they successfully bury this story, I hate to say it, but there is no more rule of law in what has become the American Banana Republic.
Folks, that was a short, power-packed, 5-minute coverage of what is the hard left is doing, the communists in America, in our political system. And Pastor Ernie and myself and have spoken about this for a long time. The FBI is not legitimate anymore. It's an arm of the deep state. The Justice Department is exactly the same. And these things are exposed, and they're really being exposed, all this criminal activity. And the media, the main media, ignores it. So it gets some little publicity for a couple days, a week or something, and then it just dies away, and you won't hear another thing about it. You won't hear the investigation by the FBI, or just prosecution by the U.S. Attorney's Office. All of these hardcore leftist type of things with the 2020 election, the 22 election, no matter what you uncover with it, no matter what type of proof there is, it's just silence. They are in control. They have criminal minds now. They are bona fide criminals, but they have a lot of power. And they are going to do anything, whatever is necessary, they are going to do to stay in power. And that's exactly what that clip was explaining by Rand Paul. So our only hope is not in the government, folks. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We fight the good fight here, continually fight the good fight, but ultimately look to him and no one but him. So if America should fall, the gospel is still the same, and Jesus Christ is still the only begotten Son of God, and we have assurance of eternal life through him. So we must stay focused on him, fight the good fight, stay in prayer, expose the truth. That's our job. And the rest then is how the Lord will deal with this nation. So I have a whole list of stuff, folks, and I don't have it in order. I wish I did have it in order to cover together the topic. So I'm going to kind of jump from one to another here, but stuff, that information that you really need to know. And this is encouraging. This one is encouraging. North Dakota becomes 15th state to protect babies from abortion. That will bring God's blessings on at least to North Dakota. The state of North Dakota and all the states that stand for life. So a real thanks to the governor of North Dakota and the legislature of North Dakota. And hopefully many, many more states are going to come in line and protect the babies in the womb. Texas did it. And I don't remember the estimates now, but it was in the tens of thousands of babies have been saved from abortion here in Texas. And they have very, very good pro-life ministries here to help women that are in need in Texas to help with the baby. And also, may this spread from state to state to state. Now, I'm going to cover a librarian who is suing parents who object to hyper-sexualized books for children. And this is a group called Safe Libraries, run by Dan Kleinman. He's the one that's being sued or involved in being sued, claimed the librarian was promoting the challenged books with an enticing banned book display. The parents, represented by First Amendment lawyer Connie Mullen, have asked that this case be dismissed as frivolous. Parents should have the right to have a voice and whether their children should be exposed to sexualized content in the books chosen by public school employees. This lawsuit inhibits opening and robust debate on the issues as we as a nation must face on the appropriateness of content which our children are exposed. So now the hard left here, the woke, are going to resort to lawsuits. So they're going to try to slow things, to turn, maybe to get victories in the courts to protect young children from being exposed to pornographic material and seductive material. And all of that to young children is grooming them. When you expose young children to pornographic material, their developing minds are affected by it. That's why they should maintain innocence as long as you can. So this is very sad, folks. It's across the nation. Here in Texas, in the school district that I'm in here, there are parents now that are gone into, they're running. In fact, the voting will be next week for school boards because the school boards have been infiltrated by people who claim to be conservative Republicans, will say. They get on the school boards and they're anything but that. They openly go to promote this vile sexual material to the children. So now the parents here are raising up, and I've heard two of the three outstanding parents running. Both of them came to my church, so we're going to be voting for them. And we're encouraging everybody here in Texas to vote for the real conservatives, not the phonies. But it's a battle, folks, because if they capture the children's mind at a young age, they can turn them, and then year after year they're exposed to it, they can turn them into, I hate to say the word, but reprobates. That's what they want to do. They want them sexualized where they can be manipulated and enticed. We're talking about kindergarten books, first grade, second grade. This is what I repented of earlier and asked the Lord for mercy. We need a every, especially men, godly men, real men, to stand up against this and have enough. And also, folks, it may come to the time, it's way past the time, but to get your children out of those schools. You don't want, the damage can be done, folks, in kindergarten to these kids. You don't want your kids' minds captured by the reprobates. Private schools, homeschooling, and I know it could be difficult in many ways, but please, you do not want to lose your children to these people. And as I said, they're all across the country. Now here, something that happened in the state of Washington, and this is the second thing in Washington now in about 2 weeks, the state of Washington. The first one is the state of Washington just passed a law, and I hope it's going to be challenged in the courts and defeated. But what the law said is, in school, let's say you send your child to a school, and we'll pick a grade, I don't know, third, fourth grade, fifth grade, and the school psychologist and the teachers, there's going to be someone designated in the school, determines that the child is transgendered. If the parents don't go along with the treatment for it, and that's these drugs, these hormone blockers and all, the little five-year-olds, six-year-olds, fifth grade, fourth grade, and all, the child will be taken away from the parents. That's law in Washington. And they'll be put in like a state, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say institution. and the state will treat them, folks. Taken away. This is, they're taking it to us, folks. They are taking it to us. The bond between the family unit with the parents and the child is being broken by the state now. And the state, they belong to the state and not to you. This is Washington. Not Washington, D.C., but the state of Washington. Who knows how many other states are going to follow this. I can see Oregon following it, California following it, Minnesota following it. Probably like states like New York, New Jersey. It looks like they're going down that road also, where they will take your child away. It's not your child. It's the state's child. And they will give them hormones and hormone blockers and all, which who knows what the long-term effect will be, with the going to maybe create sex changes on them, mutilating them. This is not something that may happen in the future. This is happening now. This is happening now. Okay. Now, there's an article here, the second article about Washington State, and this is just out. Here's the article. Washington State School District considers canceling fourth grade music lessons for fostering white supremacy culture and significant institutional violence. Now, this here is a direct assault, folks, on Christianity. It doesn't necessarily say it, but when you talk about the white culture, what has our culture been based on? The morals that we've had and the laws that were enacted, all was based on Christianity. So when they talk about white supremacy, white supremacy culture, it's a direct attack on Christianity, that they don't want Christianity. They want no part of it. They haven't directly said that yet. In some instances, it has been said, but not overall. This is coming, folks. This is right on the edge of directly attacking the Christian faith, the government. So let me read this article, and then we want to talk about white supremacy and what they're promoting. All right, this is from the article. We also know there are other folks in the community that experience things like the tradition of excellence as exclusionary. We are a school district that lives in an entrenched in and is surrounded by white supremacy culture. And that's a real thing. The board of directors told concerned parents that there is nothing intrinsically white supremacist about a string or instrumental music, but warned that there are ways in which it could contribute to racist culture. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm at loss for words. They don't give any example of it. But what are they talking about? I have no idea. They say instrumental music, string or instrumental music, it could contribute to the racist culture. How? What music is it? Is it classical music? This is pure insanity. This is back to the article. The ways in which it is, and the ways in which all of our institutions, not just schools, but local government, state government, now listen to this, our churches, our neighborhoods, incalculate and allow white supremacy culture to continue to be propagated and cause significant institutional violence are things that we have to think about carefully as a community. It's all pure nonsense. Our churches, our state government, local government, Seattle is a completely liberal city. In fact, it's being destroyed because of it. The state of Washington is liberal now, real liberal. How is this racist? San Francisco, California. This is pure insanity, pure delusion. It's self-hatred. Everything is racist, white racist to these people, because it comes out of a Christian background. It's the structure of it that they can't stand, folks. They can't stand. They can't stand America because it comes out of a Christian background, Christian heritage. The whole United States, they want it destroyed. They are attacking music in schools as racist without any explanation to it at all, or what they're talking about. Just rhetoric, so that they can use this rhetoric and then implement a search and destroy in the culture to destroy it, folks. And in destroying it, they plan to redo it in their communistic minds. They're going to destroy America and then have some sort of communist utopia. I'm sure it will be like Lenin and Stalin and Mao Zedong and all these tyrants there in East Europe and Pol Pot in Cambodia. Wherever the communists have taken power, murder, the blood flows, folks, by these murderers. There is a murdering spirit in them because they think they're God. And that's what they're trying to do to us, folks, right now. They're taking the fight to us. Now, they're talking about white racist culture. So in remaining time here, folks, I want to talk about race in America. And I want to go back to the beginning, specifically slavery, because that's what the big issue that the left here in America is using as a divide us. So we want to go back to the founding of America. Here, we were not a nation, really, technically, until we were free from Great Britain, which was not in 1776, but it was in 1784, after the Treaty of Paris. Great Britain granted us our freedom. We had the Articles of Confederation, which did not work as a government. And then in 1789, colonies, the states recognized the Constitution, and we became a government, a nation. So technically, we could say 1789 is when we became a nation. Before that, in 1778, Vermont had broken away from Great Britain and formed, it's called the Republic of Vermont, just like the Republic of Texas. Vermont was not one of the original 13 colonies. It was the 14th colony. And Vermont had its own constitution. And in the constitution, it outlawed slavery. It outlawed slavery. And then when we became a nation, one by one, the northern colonies, one way or another, abolished slavery. And it was a gray area. If you own slaves, according to the law, you could keep them, but there could be no new slaves in the northern states. And then we had the Northwest Ordinance. And the Northwest Ordinance had all states coming into the Union were free states. They're not slave states. So that was Ohio. That was Illinois. That was Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin. These were all free states. And America, half of America was anti-slavery. It was free states. And the other half was for slavery. So why don't we look at it, the positive, that America was really the first nation in the world? We can go by Vermont. I don't know of any, as I studied history, there may have been one other nation, and I'm not sure, that could have been Portugal. But when we look what happened in the North, and we look specifically Vermont, we were leading the world. We were a split nation. Why don't we focus on how America was leading the world in freeing slavery, stopping slavery? Then we had the abolitionist movement that started in the early 1800s, and it fought slavery head on. It took abolition to abolish slavery. That was primarily all through the northern states. It didn't really make any headway into the southern states. We had the Dred Scott decision, which said that basically black people could be chattel. 7 out of the 9 Supreme Court justices were all appointed by Democrats. That was a Democrat decision. And then we had the Civil War. And as a result of the Civil War, the black people were set free. They weren't set free in the North, folks. They were set free in the South. After the Civil War, we had the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Almost all of the Republicans voted for those amendments, and a significant portion of the Democrats, not Southern Democrats, Northern Democrats, voted against it, folks. And then we had the Jim Crow laws. That was not Republicans that did it. That was Democrats, folks. The Republican Party was started in 1854 in Wisconsin because the former party, it was called the Whigs, they talked a good game of abolition, but they didn't fulfill it. The people got fed up. They started their own party. The first candidate they ran was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln ran on a abolitionist platform. If you read the platform, Republican platform, it's incredible. That's why the South seceded, because Abraham Lincoln was elected. Amazing, folks. I'm emphasizing Democrat, 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 slavery, Democrat, slavery. The United States Attorney's Office was created in 1871 by General Ulysses S. Grant to fight the Ku Klux Klan. That's why we needed the U.S. Justice Department to take on the Ku Klux Klan. The Democrats in the South were persecuting the black people. So the whole basis of restitution they're talking about and how evil America is, it goes right into the Democrat Party, which they refuse to acknowledge today, folks. Somehow, somewhere, magically, in the 1960s and around there, the Democrat Party became wonderful and the Republican Party became evil. Now, I'm not a hardcore Republican. I vote for people as they should be voted for, not what they do, not what they say. But the Democrats today have somehow are wonderful. Their history doesn't exist. It doesn't matter. They want restitutions. They're promoting restitution, the Democrat Party. Well, I believe in restitution and that the Democrat Party should pay for what they've done to America. if black people are going to receive restitution for slavery, it's the Democrat Party. Anyone that's in the Democrat Party is responsible for slavery, for restitution. And I think that white people, and there are blacks that gave their lives in the Civil War fighting for the North, but anyone who can show that a member of their family was killed during the Civil War, the Democrat Party should pay restitution to those people. Folks, we can't let them get away with this. They are as evil now as they were in the 1850s. The Democrat Party with slavery was purely evil. And now they're evil again. They're at it again, folks. This is the most destructive force in America. And I'm not 100% saying the Republican Party is wonderful, folks. That's not what I'm saying. We're focusing on the Democrats now. They are more destructive to us than Russia and China combined. They're destroying us with our borders wide open. They're destroying marriage between a man and a woman. And what they're after the children. They want to kill every baby in the womb. And then they want to mutilate little children. It's almost 100% Democrat. They're at it again like they were doing in the 1850s to America. We had enormous amount of soldiers die during the Civil War. I think with the America's population today, don't hold me absolutely correct, but it would be about 7 million died in 4 years in the military. That's how many, that's the magnitude of the losses proportionally we lost in the Civil War. Enormous amount of people died by the Democrats. They're the ones that did it, and they get away with it today. We can't let them, folks. We can't let them get away anymore with this. They are, and I said it already, the most destructive force in America. It hell owns them. And Jesus warned about it. He said they've come to destroy, to kill, and to steal. And that's exactly what they're doing to the nation today. I think it's time for a break as I look at the time here. So I believe we need a break and we'll go into the final half hour.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the
his arms open wide.
it was for you and I that he was crucified.
Hello. Yes, I think we have some callers. I didn't give out the number. I see we're really late, and I didn't give out the number to call in, but we do have some callers. Could you put up the first caller, please?
Hello?
Yes, who do I have?
This is Matt from Malvern, formerly of Broomall, Pennsylvania, but from Malvern.
Malvern, New York?
No, Malvern, Pennsylvania, Chester County.
Okay, all right. What question do you have or comment?
Well, it's a comment on what you said about the satanic gathering they're having in Boston.
Yes.
So you left out the main thing. When Jesus' disciples came back from the sneak preview of the Mount, Peter, James, and John, they came back to find a strange thing. A father had a demon-possessed boy, and disciples failed. They couldn't do it. They asked, why did we fail? And his answer, in Mark 9:29, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It doesn't say prayer and breakfast, prayer and fasting. If we're going to get this country back, we've got to pray and we've got to fast. When you do that, things change.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. Okay. Good point. Excellent point. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I have been doing it now for 5 years, and we're seeing things happen. For example, a complete public high school varsity football team and three coaches, one of which got saved along with 7 or 8 students, came to a church function, but it was the result of prayer and fasting. And it's through the Bible. If people would be rousted up to pray and fast, we'll get this country back. That's all I wanted to say, and thank you for taking the call. God bless.
Yeah, I agree with you saying. I would add one more thing to it, though. It's a little bit more than that, and it has to do – the prayer has to include repentance.
Sure.
We have to repent for what we've allowed in this country.
Right.
Because God is offended. He's highly offended by what we've done.
But brother, if you're fasting, if you're willing enough to skip – food and fast, even in Acts, where it says it was chapter 13, 2 times in 4 verses, when they prayed and they fasted, then the Holy Spirit revealed things to them. And if you're not serious, when you're praying and you're fasting, you're serious, the repentance will be automatic because you're seeking the Lord. You look where Jesus was most vehemently attacked other than the crucifixion was when he was praying and fasting. The devil went right at him because he hates that. And I have found when I come apart to pray and fast, the craziest opposition to things that come up, that I made up my mind, I'm going to stick to it. And it works. Thank you for letting me get that. Prayer and fasting. God bless.
Yeah. Okay. God bless you. Okay. Caller number 2.
Thank you, John. This is Jeff calling from Chelsea, Massachusetts. And I want to put in my 2 cents for Satan Con in Boston. Number
Go ahead.
One, the good news is there is Revive Boston, and they're going against the Satan Con in Boston. But here's the addendum to this conversation. What made Satan Con possible in Boston is the political leaders of Massachusetts, women like Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll, what made it possible is people voting for evil people like Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll, who, while mayor of Salem, allowed the biggest Ouija board in the world in Salem, Massachusetts. That's number one. Number two, in Massachusetts, you have 14 cities in Massachusetts that has the highest percentage of evangelical Christians in those cities. And are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Yeah. 14 cities in Massachusetts that have the highest percentage of evangelical Christians in those cities. I live in one of those cities, Chelsea, Massachusetts. Now, with these inner cities in Massachusetts, you have churches next to the liquor store. And what do I mean? What I mean is, a lot of these inner city places, believers vote for the Democrats. And the reason why they vote for the Democrats is because the Democrats provide government handouts and promises to anybody from a developing country that if you vote for the Democrats, they will bring in their relatives into the state for welfare goodies. And the thing is, for a revival to happen in a demonic state like Massachusetts, it's beyond prayer and fasting. The people themselves have to stop voting for the goodies, and they got to stop voting for the immigration status. People have to say, look, we're voting Republican. We're voting for a man like Scott Lively to run for governor.
Okay. And Scott Lively is the Scott Lively. I'm trying to describe him. He really stands up for the Lord.
Yeah, Scott Lively ran for governor twice in Massachusetts against Charles Baker. Once as an independent, and another time as a Republican. And he got a very low percentage of the vote. I voted for him. The remnant voted for him. But you see, people are addicted to the goodies, including born-again believers.
I go by the fruit. And anybody can say that they're a believer, but what's the fruit? And they've been anesthetized by the government. They're operating with no faith. They're under the authority, and the power of the government. That's a serious indictment, and the result is the fruit of the satanic group coming into Boston now, and the things you mentioned about the governor. So I question what's being preached from the pulpit, how real these preachers are in the pulpit, but I want to use Massachusetts as an example, okay?
Yeah.
In 1861, we'll say, Massachusetts was arguably the most godly, real Christian state in the Union. It was the heart of the abolitionist movement, and some great preachers were preaching in and were taking root in Massachusetts, like Charles Finney and D.L. Moody. In fact, D.L. Moody was from Massachusetts. And so at the time of the Civil War, Massachusetts, I guess you could say, was the outstanding state in the Union with a tremendous amount of real, real believers. Look at Massachusetts today.
You're right.
Look at it.
Well,
so it's serious. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God.
You're right.
And you could say all the states that forget God. And when you look at the heritage that Massachusetts has, I mean, Lexington and Concord, 1775, April 19th, 1775, that's where the Minutemen made their stand. And we can say that that's the spot, that our the revolution came from and our freedom came from. That was Massachusetts. The Minutemen were Massachusetts, from Massachusetts. The Sons of Liberty, they were from Boston. But look at it now. It's the 180 degrees off. It's sobering, Luke. It's sobering to see what can happen when the church dies in a state or in a nation. And let it be a lesson to all of us.
Amen.
That this can happen to America as a whole. We do not, as the other gentleman said, the fasting is important, very important. Pray and fast and repent and cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What happened to Massachusetts can happen to the whole state of America.
You're getting no argument from me on that one. But I will add this, which is how Massachusetts rotted like it is today was it started off with a higher criticism at Harvard and universities like that. And once the higher criticism started to take root, and once you had the Unitarian churches take root, then what happened was, in time, the Christians started getting weaker, the real believers, and then the potato famine happened in Ireland, and then you had a Roman Catholic influx into this country, and the believers intermarried with the Roman Catholics, just like the Israelites intermarried with the Moabites, and then that was the beginning of the end for this area, and you see the fruit of it for today. Massachusetts is a hard, hard leftist country. And now we're going off the deep end here. I mean, this Satan con is just the tip of the iceberg. You have Salem, Massachusetts, that's way worse than Satan con is. My friend Bob evangelizes up in Salem, Massachusetts. So all I can say is, if you want to know the future of Massachusetts, well, we're going to be an outpost for communist Russia, China, and other communist countries, and we're going to be using an outpost. And we will be a divided country, communist.
Okay.
Communist.
Okay. Hold on. I want to pray. Oh, Father, we bring Massachusetts before you, and Lord, it has a godly, real godly center to it. It was one of the leading, probably the leading state in the union for you. It was the center of the abolitionist movement. And Lord, we're asking now that you would rise up or raise up a godly witness there, Lord, with power. They would strip off this state power that's really just drained the power of the church out of them. There would be a bona fide move of your Lord, of your word. There would be right in Satan's strongholds. There would be a revival and souls coming to you, hearts healed. Power in the church. We need it, Lord. We need it. And we see the problem in Massachusetts, and it's statewide. It's nationwide, Lord. There are other states more or less as bad as Massachusetts, maybe worse. So, Lord, we need a mighty move of your Holy Spirit in America, or we're finished, Lord. We're finished. This is beyond politics. This is beyond elections. This is spiritual, and Satan has made deep inroads in America, and we're asking, Lord, we're in repentance, and we're crying out to you for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I ask, amen, amen, amen. Okay. Well, thank you, folks, for listening tonight. I hope... there was some truth instilled that we can see where we are. And where we are is we need to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, and as the brother called in, fasting along with it. Otherwise, it's futile. The next election won't help, folks. I mean, we elected Trump, and it didn't put a dent into the deep state. In fact, it made them, I think, worse in some sense. So we need a bona fide move of the Holy Spirit. And it starts with each individual having assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ, knowing that who their Lord and Savior is, knowing that he is the only begotten Son of God, and God answers our prayers. So to have assurance of eternal life, it takes repentance, which means turning from self and sin to Jesus Christ and his word. It's an about face. Believing that he was the sinless, only begotten Son of God, who God sent in love to die on the cross and shed his blood to pay the awful penalty for sin. Folks, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross shows you the horror of sin, the penalty for sin, how awful it is. And if you reject the Lord, you have to pay that penalty for eternity. So God is putting his hands out in love. Repent and turn to my Son. God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, and then the scripture says, whosoever, that means whoever is listening, no matter how bad your background is, no matter how awful you could have been done things, if you repent and turn to Christ, you're whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to shed his blood for you, will be saved. The second part is believing, which I mentioned already, he bodily rose from the dead. Those are the two components. Well, three, repentance. He died on the cross for our sins, and he bodily rose from the dead. If you confess that, you will be saved. You will have eternal life. That's a promise in the Word of God. And then you continue on with studying the Word, get a good King James Bible. You grow in the Word. You become water baptized. It's necessary you be water baptized as a disciple. Go therefore and make teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then it'll settle us down when we realize that when we were under the blood of Jesus Christ, God is our Father, but not only our Father, he's our Abba Father. It's a very tender word. Abba means little child. Or Abba, God, actually, is a little child seeing God as Abba. That's where the word comes from. That's the relationship you can have with God. And the last part of this is that not only God wants to give you eternal life, but now he wants to heal broken hearts. In Luke 4:18, it says, he sent me to heal the broken heart. So anyone listening to me, that heart has been broken by the passing of a loved one, of maybe growing up in violence as a child. That'll break people's hearts, growing up in violence, growing up rejected, growing up in real poverty, being subject to violence, anything like that. It breaks our heart. And trauma, you could be traumatized from an accident, traumatized, that God will heal your broken heart. So I want to pray now. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that anyone under the sound of my voice that has come to you or believes in you and that has a broken heart, we're asking now that you would heal it. You would heal it from all fear in the heart. You would heal it from depression in the heart, rejection in the heart, shame and guilt in the heart. Lord, that you would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and that everybody's broken heart would be healed so that we could have a close relationship with you as our Abba Father. In closing, the letter, the newsletter from What's Right, What's Left, you can write to What's Right, What's Left.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.